Praise God. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 23. Just going to read a verse in there, a couple of verses actually. Psalm 23 is a very familiar psalm, probably one of the first ones that a lot of people memorize. And we're just talking about funerals. A lot of times we read this at funerals as well. And David goes down through it. But we're not going to go down through the entire psalm today. But I wanted to touch on verse 5. And sometimes, you know, if you're going through difficult times in your life, and we've all gone through them, and maybe you're going through a difficult time right now, maybe you're discouraged, maybe frustrated, going through some struggle, some battle, and these words are very powerful if we stop and listen to what he's saying. The psalmist is saying, he said, "You prepare a table," verse 5, "you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over." Verse 6, he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's bow together and ask God's direction as we look into the Word of God this morning. Father, we're so thankful today for the goodness and the mercy and the love and the grace of God. Lord, as we've been singing today, Lord, and talking about that love and the forgiveness of our sins and the grace that you showed toward us, Father, truly we can stand back and say, Lord, your grace truly is amazing. And Father, we ask, Lord, as we look into the Word of God this morning, that you would just give us some enlightenment here. Help us, Father, to take the things that we learned today, to put them into practice. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts and direct us. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In verse 6 there, he starts out, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That word, surely, is almost like God's guarantee that this is going to happen. And notice what he says, when goodness and mercy, he said, will follow me all the days of my life. But he said, you'll prepare a table before me. Now, when is he going to prepare that table before him? When is it, when is he going to do it? The Bible says, in the presence of mine enemies. That's when he's going to empower us to overcome our obstacles in our lives. And that's when he's going to demonstrate his goodness and his mercy toward us, is in the presence of our enemies. And we're not necessarily talking about enemies in regards to people that, you know, give you a hard time and things like this. But even in the struggles of life, even in the battles that we go through as Christians sometimes, and we've all gone through them, we've all, maybe even today you're going through something. And we get discouraged, we get frustrated, we seem like there's no hope in sight, there's nothing to live for, there's no point in serving God. And how many times we read in the scriptures when the children of Israel are going through struggles, would go through the very same thing. And God spoke to me even over in the book of Malachi, and God said, your words are stout against me. And they said, what do you mean they're stout? And God says, you're saying there's no point in serving me. And a lot of times as Christians, you know, if you be honest with yourself, there's times as Christians we all feel struggles and battles and discouragement sometimes, and we feel that, you know, what's the point? You know, I'd be better off if I never got involved with this. Anybody ever feel that way? The rest of you are telling lies anyway. Most of you put up your hands. But we've all gone through that. We've all gone through times when we wonder, you know, what is the purpose of all this? But God says he's going to prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And that says that, you know, no matter what the odds are against us, no matter what opposition comes against us, as long as God is with us, we can overcome. We're going to go through and everything is going to be okay. And they'll never keep God's blessings from us, no matter what comes into our lives. The Bible tells us, you know, over in Numbers chapter 21, and sometimes when we go through struggles and go through discouragements, you know, we sort of figure what is the point of it. But I was reading somewhere a while ago, they said, when you go through struggles, it's proof that you're still living. It's proof that there's still hope. It's proof that there's a chance that the future is going to change. It's a proof that you haven't quit. So as long as you're going through a struggle, everything is okay. Okay, you might not feel okay going through, but you're still living. And, it could be a lot worse. So when you're going through struggles, don't get in despair and throw in the towel and say, well, you know, what's the purpose of all this? Let's start looking at what God is bringing our lives through, what God has got in store for us and the future that God has for us. But over in Numbers chapter 21, in verse 4, the King James reads it this way. And they journeyed. Now, this is the children of Israel. Let me give you a little bit of a background. The children of Israel came out of Egypt. You know the story, how God opened up the Red Sea. He crossed on dry land. Came into the wilderness of Sin, the Bible calls it, or Zin, whichever translation you look at there. But he came into the wilderness in the Sinai area, and for a number of years, there was an 11-day journey across and up into the promised land. They tell us that you could do it in 11 days, is what they tell us anyway. But they went, and the Bible says they began to murmur and complain about everything that happened in their lives along the way. Everything had changed. Everything, you know, they just could not accept it, and they just fought everything that was transpiring. And because of that, they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, I mean, they could have done it in 11 days. But for 40 years, they kept going around in the wilderness. And that speaks to us. If you're the type of person who's always grumbling, complaining, and, you know, always upset by stuff, you would be going around your life in the wilderness all the time. You've got to make up your mind and says, listen, we're going to pass through this. We're going to get to the other side. And anyway, they came there, and now they're getting down to the end after 40 years. Moses, this is just before Moses died. Aaron, the high priest, died. And now they were coming, getting ready to go into the promised land. And they came up against a nation that was really way back in their past. A close relative, that nation started from a close relative. And so you got the Jewish people, they're almost like distant cousins, these two nations. And when Moses, you know, they spent 400 years or so down in Egypt, and now Moses came out in 40 years in the wilderness. Moses came out and he went to the leader of Edom, the land of Edom, and said, listen, we want to get to the other side. God has given us some land over there. We want to get to the other side. Now, these were cousins. You think they would have understood each other. God wants us to get to the other side. Can we pass through your land? We won't drink any of your water. We won't eat any of your crops. If we do use anything, we'll pay you good for it. And you think, well, they say, sure, come on. But the Bible says that Edom says, no, you can't come through. So Moses sent back again. He said, listen, he said, we're not going to do anything. He said, we'll tell the people. He said, just keep going straight. Stay on the king's highway, which they tell us was a highway at the time. He said, we'll stay on the highway. And he said, we won't get out into your fields. And he said, we just want to pass through and get to our land. And the king of Edom got so upset, the Bible says that he brought out an army against them and withstood them and wouldn't allow them to come. So Moses decided, well, we're going to have to go around the land. And this is where the story takes up. And there's one phrase in that verse there I want us to see in verse 4. One phrase that I want us to see, and this is what we're going to look at this morning. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, to get around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. The soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. There's times in our Christian walk, as you know as well as anybody, if you've been serving the Lord for any amount of time, the soul of your, you know, of the people sometimes gets much discouraged. There's times when we go through discouragement and we don't know what to do to get out of a situation. And if you read the story there and get into all of it, we don't have time to get into all the story that was going on there, but if you read the story, they got frustrated because for 40 years they were working towards this land, and now because of some problem with this other nation, they had to backtrack and go back over some of the land they've already covered. And they didn't know how this was going to work out. They didn't know how far back they had to go. They didn't know what they had to do. And they began to get mad. They started to get bitter. And they got angry at Moses. They got angry at God. And this is when the fiery serpent, remember the serpents came out, and God eventually told them to put up a serpent upon a pole because the people were murmuring and grumbling, complaining. But there's times in life when the way is going to seem long and hard for us. And it seems like you don't know where you're going. You don't know. You see, sometimes if you know what the outcome is going to be, if you know what you're heading towards, it's not quite as bad. But if you're going to a place, they're going to a promised land that they never ever saw before. God just told them is there. You know, and some of their ancestors way back, you know, 400 years ago saw some of it. But now they were wanting to go in there, and God was telling them to go back. And not understanding where God was leading them, and a lot of times we go through this, not understanding sometimes where God is leading us, it's difficult for us to keep our faith strong. It's easy to get discouraged. Now, I believe I'm talking to people here this morning that discouraged. God wouldn't have led us in this message if it wasn't for people that was getting discouraged. There's times when we all go through discouragement in our lives. And there's always a temptation to quit. Matter of fact, they got to the place. They start to grumble and complain against Moses. And they said, why did you bring us out here into this desert? There's no water to drink. You have to understand, they're going through a desert area. There's no water to drink. There's no food to eat. Now, God was blessing them for 40 years. You know the story. You know, but they start to grumble and complain. And they said, this food, this manna and everything we're eating, they said, we just loathe that. We just turn from it. And they start to grumble and complain against God. And the Bible says, they said, it's better for us if we go back to Egypt. Now, I guarantee you, there's a lot of people that started out serving the Lord. And listen, this is the normal way it works. If you read Psalm 21, I remember years ago, I heard a fellow named Bob Mumford. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of him or not. But anyway, this is back in the 70s or so. I was listening to a cassette tape by him one time. And I taped that off a 8-track tape, so you know how far back it was. So it was back a few days ago. And some people don't even know what 8-track tapes are. But anyway, I taped it off, and he preached on Psalm 23. And I don't know all the details. I mean, like I said, it was back in the 70s. But he said, it's a psalm for people that are living, not for the dead. And he went down through every phrase in that psalm and started talking about. And he started out talking about it. He starts out saying, the Lord is my shepherd. In other words, God is going to direct me. God is going to lead me. He's going to feed me. He's going to look after me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In other words, I won't lack anything because I know who my shepherd is. And he said, a lot of times we start out in our Christian walk, and the minute you get saved, the first week or two, or the first 6 months probably, you're just going around on cloud nine. Everything seems to be falling into place. Everything is going wonderful. You know, people are nice to you. Just things are sort of happening. You know what it's like sometimes? You get saved, and all of a sudden it seems like the grass is greener, the sky is bluer. Everything is nicer, you know. But then somewhere along the line, you come back to reality. And your feet get on the ground again. And everything starts to fall apart. And then he said, you start to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, he brought it all this, and he had a tremendous message. Like I said, I can't remember all of it now, but I remember the title, A Psalm for the Living. But you see, every one of us, when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, I mean, they were dancing, and the Bible says when they got to the other side, Miriam took out her tambourine, they started dancing around, having a great time. You know, the horse and rider, he's thrown into the sea, the Lord has triumphed gloriously. But I mean, this is 40 years on the road. Miriam's dead, Aaron is dead. Things are changed. The leaders that they once had is gone. You know, and now they got discouraged. They said, it's better for us if we went back to Egypt. And a lot of times in Christian walk, sometimes when the rubber starts hitting the road and you start to have to face some problems, a lot of people say, man, I was better off before I got saved. I shouldn't have gotten involved with this. You know, and this is what they were going through. They were getting discouraged. But the problem is, the situation is, they never learned to pass, the discouragement test. I guarantee you there's always going to be a test. Discouragement. I preached a couple years ago on the devil's weapons. And I said one of the greatest weapons that the devil's got is discouragement. If he can get you discouraged, he can get you to stay away from church, he can get you to stop reading the scriptures, he can get you to start grumbling about everybody in the church and start complaining about everything that was going on, he can get you discouraged. He knows that that's his greatest weapon. And I guarantee you, somewhere in your Christian walk, you're going to have to walk through that discouragement. And what you do in the midst of that is going to determine your future. And the children of Israel weren't passing, weren't doing very good at this discouragement test. There's always going to be great opportunities to quit. Like the children of Israel, sometimes our happiness and our joy and our excitement and everything else all turns into heaviness and discouragement. But unless we pass that discouragement test, we'll never get into the fullness of what God's got for us. God has got a plan and a purpose, and we understand this. God has got a plan and a purpose for every last one of us. I don't care who you are and how little you think of yourself or anything else, God has got a purpose for you being here. God has got a purpose for you being in the service this morning. God has got a purpose for you living in this generation. We need to understand that. Sometimes we think we're, you know, like the joke, sometimes you're unique just like everyone else, you know. In other words, you're not all that unique at all, but yet you are. Because God has got a plan and a purpose for every one of us. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 11, God said, I know the plans that I have for you. Not to harm you, not to hurt you, but to prosper you, to give you a good future. And God's got that plan for all of us. So we need to understand that. But you see, when we're going through discouragement, it's easy to lose sight of that plan. Because we're all to say, when we get saved, or maybe you get married, or you get a new job, or whatever the case might be, there's something changed. You got good plans in the future. You got good, dreams for yourself. But somewhere along the line, life becomes real. And you think, man, if I got to go through this forever, this is always going to stay this way? And it's because of that we get discouraged, and then we sort of throw in the towel and say, what's the use and what's the point of going on? There's always going to be opposition. On your way to your destiny, to the plan that God has got for you, there's always going to be opposition. Sometimes it's going to take longer than you thought it was going to be. There's going to be a harder road than you thought it was going to be. Your plans aren't going to work out as easily as you thought they were. When you get out of high school and different things, you got these big plans. You're going to go to university, or you're going to go to college, or whatever you're going to do, and you're going to, then you're going to get out, you're going to get a job at this, you're going to work a part-time job too, and you got a mortgage coming up and everything else, but that's okay. I put an extra $1,000 a month on it, and I get it paid off pretty good, and we get all these plans. But how many know those plans very, very seldom work out? Because life is real. Life is real. When you get saved, God never isolated you and took you out of the planet altogether. You're still going to go through some of the same things that everyone else goes through, but you have the Lord with you. And that's the difference. We have to remind ourselves that on the other side of this test, there's a promotion coming. But see, what we do a lot of times, we stay in the test for years and years and years and years and years, grumbling, complaining, bickering about this, bickering about something else, and not understanding this, and don't agree with this. And we stay there for years instead of realizing, listen, if I'm going to get through this storm, if I'm going to get through this discouragement, there's a promotion on the other side. See, God will never lead you to the next step until you fulfill the first step. God is never going to give you more responsibility if we're not faithful in the responsibility that he's already given us in the lower. He said, if you'll be faithful in the small things, I'll make you ruler over the great things, larger things. So we need to understand that there's a test that we go through, and we have to pass that test in order to get to the promotion. It may be tough, it may be difficult, it may be long, it may be hard. You might not understand what's going on. It might look impossible, but God is still in control. The Bible tells us not a sparrow falls to the ground without God knowing it. I read a book years ago, and this pastor was explaining, he had a vision, he said, from an angel, and the angels were telling him about God's love and how God knows each individual's is good. Help us to understand some of the things that, And he said, the Holy Spirit is so sensitive. He said he monitors the entire universe. And he said, this is why, he said, even if a bird falls to the ground, the Holy Spirit monitoring picks that up and knows that that bird fell to the ground. I think of that sometimes when you're driving down the road and one flies into your car or something, and you think, oh, God knows where I'm at right now. that bird just fell to the ground or whatever. But the thing is, the Holy Spirit monitors. God knows every detail. The Bible says even the very hairs of our head are numbered. So we need to understand that we're not just a number out there somewhere. We're not just out there somewhere and God has forgotten about us. God's got a plan and a purpose for every last one of us. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 says, don't become weary in doing good. Don't get discouraged in doing good. And like the children of Israel sometimes, we're right next door to our promised land. Our breakthrough is right around the corner. The fulfillment of our dream is probably just 2 weeks down the road. And we get discouraged and throw in the towel and say, I just can't take it anymore. That's what they were doing. I mean, they're right up to the edge of the promised land. And God was saying, okay, just go around this way and we'll bring you in. And they got discouraged because the way became too long for them. Different than what they thought it was going to be. And after all these years of going through this, wilderness, you think they would have been glad that it's coming to the end. But they couldn't understand what was in the future. And because of that, they got discouraged. The Bible says their hearts became discouraged. The Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 24, verse 9, he said, lift up your heads, and the King of glory will come in. Lift up your heads, and the King of glory will come in. Listen, we can't go through life all the time with our heads hanging down. always discouraged, always frustrated, always mad about something, always bitter with somebody, always in a grudge with somebody. You can't go through life like that. If you're going through life with your head down, you will never rise up. You know, and if you're always looking behind you, you'll never get ahead. We've got to understand that God has put these things into the words, not just to make the book thick. Every last one of those words has got a purpose. There's nothing, we've covered this so many times now. There's nothing insignificant in God's word. Every detail has got a purpose there. This is God's word. This is not just some book written by some great author or something like that. This is God's word. And every last word in here is there for a purpose. And there's people sometimes, you've heard stories and you've heard testimonies of people. There's people sometimes that are going through something and they'll read a verse that probably you've read 1,000 times before and never got a thing out of it. But all of a sudden they grab something out of that and they'll receive their healing because of it. They'll receive deliverance from it. You know, whatever it might be, they will receive it because they've seen it and it came alive to them. God's word, the Bible says, is living. It's not just a dead book. And this is why the devil fights so much to keep us out of this book. I haven't got time to read it. I'm the pastor. I should be reading it probably more than anybody. But there's times when, I got to force myself. Honestly, I got to force myself to take time, go down to the office, and get into the Word of God. Because if you don't, you're going to start drying up spiritually on the inside. And you lose that excitement. I get discouraged. I get discouraged over a lot of things. You know, I was talking to a pastor a little while ago, he wanted to pray with him. And because he said, I get so discouraged. You know, you get discouraged. I get discouraged to come out Sunday morning late and you go start the service. Where's everybody at? You know? You cell leaders, you know what it's like. You know? You get discouraged over things. But if you dwell on the discouragement, you will never rise above anything. You've got to get to the place and say, listen, I can't allow myself to stay there. I can't keep my mind in that area because it's going to discourage me. It's going to defeat me. You've got to, the Bible says, lift up your head. And the King of Glory will come in. David said a number of times in the scripture, one scripture in Psalms, David said, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why have you gone quiet within me? We've all went through times like that. You know, life could be going good, and all of a sudden you wake up some morning, and it seems like, man, you talk about getting up on the wrong side of bed. You know, there's times when it seems like, what is the purpose? What's going on? And David went through times, he said, my soul, he said, what's wrong with you? Why have you gone quiet within me? But then the last part of that chapter, David said, I will yet praise the Lord, because God was his only deliverance. And we need to understand that. Discouragement is not a strange thing. The Word of God tells us, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trials that come to test you, as if some strange thing has happened to you. He said, this is common to all God's people. Sometimes, and we've all gone through it, there's times we think, man, nobody else is going through what I'm going through. Nobody else is discouraged like I am. Nobody else got the thoughts that I've got going through my mind. Listen, these things are common to all of us. It's how we react to them. So don't allow yourself to get discouraged. In Psalm chapter 3 and verse 3, David again says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. We used to sing a song years ago, my glory and the lifter up my head. For thou, O Lord, art a shield to me, my glory and the lifter up my head. See, sometimes you can't even lift your own head, so to speak. You're just so discouraged, you just don't have what it takes to lift your own head and keep moving your head. But the Word of God says, he's our glory. Now, the word glory is favor. Okay, it's also translated grace. The word glory is God's favor towards us. He's saying, God, your favor's shining upon me. You're my favor. You're my glory. And you're the lifter of my head. When you're discouraged and don't know what to do yourself, just put your trust in God. He'll lift you up. He's the glory and the lifter of your head. He'll bring you out. If you're going through trouble, he can bring you into victory. If you're going through sickness, he can bring you into health. If you're going through a financial bondage, he can bring you into a abundance. Whatever you need, God is the answer. He's the glory and the lifter of our head. Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5 says, in his favor is life. It says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. We used to sing a song years ago, Was it the cheer up? Not cheer up, was it? Cheer up, my child? It's not cheer, what is it? Anyway, it says, joy comes in the morning. Weeping may last through the night. Cheer up, I don't know what word it is now. But anyway, the darkest hour means just that dawn is in sight. You know, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, and we don't have time to read down through all the chapter here, but in Genesis chapter 1, when God was creating everything, the Bible says the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, we count a day, the morning and the evening. You know, you got up this morning, this is Sunday. We say, well, this is Sunday, you know, and eventually it's going to get dark and that's Sunday night, which is right. I'm not saying that. But you know, Sunday began last night, midnight. You understand that? So God says the evening and the morning was the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. The Jewish people still today, when the sun goes down, that's the beginning of the new day. You know, the end of one day and the beginning of a new day. So if you look at what God is saying, as I said, there's nothing in God's word that's insignificant. If you look at what God is saying here, the evening and the morning was the first day, the evening and the morning was the second day. In other words, the evening and the morning was the beginning of a new day. And I can guarantee you, and you know this from experience in your own Christian walk, every move of God, every new level that God is going to bring you into, everything that God does in your life always begins with an evening, with some kind of a darkness, some kind of a struggle, some kind of a battle, some kind of a problem. You know, and as you go through these things and you keep your eyes upon Jesus, as you go through these things, God will bring you into a new day. You know what it's like? I mean, as I said, this day began last night. Midnight last night, it was black. But as far as God's concerned, it was a new day started. You know, and there's a lot of times God has got plans and purposes for us. There's new days that God has got for us, new levels that he's bringing us into, new breakthroughs that he has for us. And as we're going through this, we look at it and all we see around us is darkness. But as far as God's concerned, he's already begun something. There's a new day on his way. And from 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, I mean, it's just dark. You say, I don't know what God is doing, man. If this is what a new day is, I don't want it. Because you're looking at the darkness, you don't understand what's going on. And through the night is dark, but all of a sudden, depends on what time of year it is here in North America, but all of a sudden, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden you start to see the sun start breaking through. And 6 o'clock or somewhere around there, the sun is above the horizon, things start to brighten up, things start to come back together again, and says, oh, thank God. You know, and a life is like that a lot of times. Every time there's a new area opening up in your life, a new breakthrough that's coming, a new promised land that's around the corner. You know, it starts out with darkness and you think, man, I'll never make this. I'll never get through this. But just hold on. Joy comes in the morning. And all of a sudden, the sun is going to pop above the horizon. Your health starts to improve. Your finances start to come back together again. Your family relations start to get restored. Problems that you're facing and seem like no answer to, all of a sudden, overnight, all of a sudden the answer is there. It's a new day. And we need to understand that. Don't get discouraged. You've got to pass the discouragement test. It's a test. Just because it's dark doesn't mean that joy isn't on its way. The new day is coming. Over the New Testament, there's stories in the book of Luke chapter 5, there's a story. Peter and James and John and different ones are out fishing all night and caught nothing. Jesus on the shore. And Jesus said to them, did you catch anything? Nothing. But now they're toiling all night, never caught anything. Jesus said, launch out into the deep. He said, and cast your net on the right side. And Peter said, listen, you're a carpenter. What do you know? We're fishermen. We've been out there the whole night. There's nothing out there, we're telling you. And nighttime, they tell us, it was the best time catching fish. And here they are now out there, and sun is coming up. You got to be crazy. Nobody fishes in the sunlight, you know. And Peter said, nevertheless, I'll do it. But see, here's the thing. Peter had a choice to make. He could use it as a discouragement that he went through all night and said, listen, there's nothing here. I'm going home. I'm going to get a good day's sleep. I'm going back and go to bed. You know. Or he could have listened to what Jesus said. And thank God he listened to what Jesus said. And the Bible says their boat began to fill up. They had so much, they had called others in to help them. I mean, you can go out story after story. Jesus went into a synagogue one day. And the Bible says there was a man there with a withered hand. His hand was probably from leprosy or whatever. Anyhow, his hand was withered, dried up. And the Bible says, he was almost, if you read the context, it's almost like he's put there on purpose. Because the Pharisees, they hated Jesus. And they were trying to trick him somehow. And they knew that Jesus healed people. So was he going to do it on the Sabbath day? So Jesus said to the man, he said, you right there, he said, stand up. The man stood up. Jesus said, stretch out your arm. And he stretched it out. And the Bible says it became whole, just like the other. And you think they would have got all excited about it and everything else. But the Bible says they got mad because he did it on the wrong day. That's religion. You know. But that man had a choice to make. I mean, he was all of his life probably going around with a withered hand. Or maybe for a number of years. We don't know all the story, but for some time anyway. He could have thought, man, who do you think you are? I mean, I've had this for so long now. I just got used to it, and I'll live with it. But no, he had a decision to make. What, am I going to listen to him or not? And he stretched out his hand and was healed. I mean, you can pick story after story. Jesus one time went into the pool area. Remember the angel would come down and stir the water every year? And the first person into that water was healed. And Jesus walked in. I don't know, it was a man 38 years or something like that. And Jesus walked in. He said to me, he said, you want to be healed? First thing you start to do, like we would do. I want to be healed. I don't have a chance. He said, I've been here all these years. And before, when the water is stirred, before I get a chance to get down there, somebody else is in there and it's all over and it's gone. And I'm just waiting. I got nobody to help me to get down there. When we were over to Bulgaria, one of the pastors that was with us was in Israel, and he said he never ever understood that story. He said, why didn't the man just sit down by the water somewhere and wait? But he said, when he realized, he said, they were waiting a whole year. And he said, it was up on a hill. He said, right now, he said, you got steps going down so you can go down to the water. He said, there's 38 steps going down, or 30 steps going down to the water. You know, no wonder the man never had time for anybody to get him in there. You know, he had to get down over the embankment and everything else to get to the water. But anyway, he could have used that excuse and said, listen, I've been here all these years, man. You know, I don't have a chance. See, it's easy to get discouraged and just throw in the towel and say, it's useless. But Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. And the man had a decision to make, and he listened to Jesus. He stood up, took up his bed, and went away. He didn't need to get in the water because the healer was there with him. You understand? So there's times when you go through discouragement, but you got to lift your eyes above that. And this is what the Word of God says. Lift up your head. I'm sure there were some strongholds in his life that you know, were holding him back. But anyway, he made up his mind that he's going to trust God and move on. Here's a thought for us. Whatever you're going through right now is not where God wants you to stay. Whatever you're going through right now, God doesn't want you to stay there. You're just passing through. How many times you read in the scripture, and it came to pass? Thank God it never came to stay. It came to pass. Okay? Whatever you're going through right now, God has got a plan and a purpose, and he wants to bring you through that, because on the other side of it, there's a promotion. But if you get discouraged and throw in the towel halfway through, you'll stay going around there for 40 years. You understand that? Don't get discouraged. I know that's easier to say than do, but we've got to understand what's going on behind the scenes and realize that if we get through this discouragement, come through this, there's a promotion on the other side. Yesterday was the first day of summer. But we just came through, we've been in Ontario now for 20 years, 19 years. And this was the most like Newfoundland I think we've ever had, was this winter. It was a rough winter. Everybody, you know, it was a rough spring. It was almost like, you know, a plane trying to land. It just bounced for a while, and all of a sudden it's gone, and all of a sudden it bounced again. And, you know, spring was there for a day or so, and back in the winter again. Spring was there again, oh, no, we're gone back, you know. Eventually it came. And you know what it's like sometimes? You look out over your lawn in the first part of the spring, or if you don't have much snow in the wintertime, you look out, everything's all brown. You know, the trees, all the leaves are gone off the trees, just limbs there. Seems like everything is dead. It looks dead. You know, and if you didn't understand what was going on, you say, man, the lawn is ruined. The trees, they're all dead because everything is bleak. You know, everything is dead. It looks dead. But you know the truth of the story. Things aren't dead. It's just not in season. As soon as the sun starts coming up, as soon as it starts to get a bit of rain, and you know, and things like this, all of a sudden, these things that look so dead, all of a sudden become back to life, starts to thrive in the sunlight and everything else. And now you can't keep ahead of mowing the lawn. You know, because it's just constantly just growing now. And you can't keep ahead of the weeds sometimes. You know, but a few months ago, that was all dead. It looked dead. But just because things look dead and look like there's no change doesn't mean to say that they're dead. Things in your life sometimes, you say, well, you know, there's a time when I used to enjoy the presence of God. There was a time when I had a passion for life. I had a drive. I was excited about things. But now it seems like I'm just going through a long winter. In Kingston, one of the graduates down there, on Gardner's Road, I used to look up there in the winter, and they used to have a sign up there, spring is on its way. And I was down there a little while ago, they had written up, summer is on its way. You know, they were looking forward because they're going through so much right now. Keep your eyes on the future because spring is on the way, summer is on the way. If you're going through the winter in your life right now, don't get discouraged, summer is on the way. Back years ago, and this is in the days of communism over in Russia, supposed to be a true story. And you know how communism treated Christians. They were slaughtered, they were killed, they were put in prison and starved to death, and you know, just tortured and everything else. And they say in Moscow, now I don't know what part, probably on Red Square, I don't know where it was at, but anyhow, in Moscow, they said words came up in the sky one day. There was a lot of persecution going on. And words just wrote, almost like, remember back in the Bible talks about the man's hand that wrote on the wall? It's almost that type of thing. Written on the wall, written on the sky. And they said that Russian military sent planes up and everything else, trying to see where it's at. And when they got up, they couldn't see it. But from the earth, you could see it. And written across the sky, it said, it is wintertime for the saints. But summer is coming. Summer is coming. A lot of times you're going through stuff in your life. It's like wintertime. Everything seems dead. Everything seems hard. No life. Keep your eyes upon Jesus because summer is coming. The Bible says Moses endured. Now, Moses went through a lot. I mean, the people wanted to kill him. They wanted to stone him. Didn't want to listen to his leadership and everything else. But the Bible says he endured by seeing him who was invisible. He kept his eyes upon Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Whatever you're going through right now is not where God wants you to be. God is a God of new beginnings. And we got to learn how to transition sometimes into the new stage that God is bringing us into. Again, God says, I know the thoughts that I have toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Even when you don't understand what's going on, spring always comes after winter. No storm is going to last forever. We need to understand that. Remember going to school? Matter of fact, out to our Bible study the other night, somebody commented on the same thing. It's like being in school. Because they were writing out their memory verse the other night, and everything was very quiet. Nobody's allowed to say anything except John. I love you, buddy. But, you know, we're all quiet and everybody's, you know, there's erasing things and thinking for a while and he writes something else and things. Everybody's very quiet. Everybody's just waiting, you know. And somebody commented, this is like school, you know, so much like school. But remember what it was like when you were going to school? Now, when we were going to school, they have one test a year, one big test. We'd have tests all through the year, but they weren't marked for anything. Just teacher wouldn't know what you're doing, is all. But you never got any credit for it. But at the end of the year, June month, we would get this big test. You know, every subject, you had a week of testing, and whatever you got, and then, you know, that's what a lot of people just scraped by with 50 or 60% because you had to remember stuff you learned back in September when you started out, you know. But anyway, when you're going to school, you had these tests. And leading up to the test, probably 2 or 3 weeks before, and you know, they would start to go over some of the things that are going to be on the test. They said, and I remember a teacher used to say to us, now get this because this is going to be on your test. Anybody remember going through something like that? you know. And you're going through the test, and the day comes for the test, and they got all the seats put in a different place, probably out in the gymnasium after school or whatever. That's what you used to do in our day anyway. And, you know, everything's very quiet. And the teacher said, "Now, we're passing out the test. Keep the page turned over. Don't look at it until we tell you to turn them over." And, you know, everybody's there right nervous, and make sure you get your pencils all sharpened and, you know, erasers there, and you're just, everything is all tense right up. And all of a sudden, the teacher said, "Okay, you got 1 hour. Start your test." So we all get our paper over, look at it, and say, "Oh my goodness, what in the world is this?" Like, you know, you can't remember half of it. You remember something, the teacher said something about that, you know, 6 months ago, but man, I can't remember that. And, you know, and the teacher's just up in front of the classroom like this, or just walking around looking at everybody like this, and you know the tension is there. But the teacher's quiet. You can put up your hand and say, "Miss, what does this mean?" She's not going to say a word to you. You're supposed to know that by now. This is a test. And you're going through it for a while, and you think, "Well, is either that or that?" "Miss, no answer. You know, this is a test." And a lot of times in life, when you're going through a test, God is silent. You ask questions. There's no answer. That's not a sign that God doesn't love you. It's not a sign that he's mad at you. Sometimes it's quite the opposite. God is trusting you. He knows you have what it takes. He knows you've learned some things. And you're going through this test, and God knows that the minute you pass that test, there's promotion. You go to the next grade. You go to the next level. But while you're going through it, you say, "God, I don't understand. You don't answer me anymore. Heaven feels like it's brass. Seems like there's no answer anywhere." The teacher is silent, seeing what you're going to do with what you've learned. But when you pass that test, God's got promotion on the other side. But the thing is, we can never get to the promotion. A lot of times, if you're like me, I'd like to take a shortcut. Just give me the promotion, forget the test. You know? But that's not the way it works. As we go through the test, and we rise above that. I remember years ago, I heard a pastor preach, and he was talking about a pastor in Russia in communism again. And he was put in prison. And they said communism had it perfected. They could bring you down to the very verge of death in torture. And just as long as there's a little flicker of life there, they'd put you back in your cell again until you start to recover. Leave you there for 2 or 3 weeks, and you thought, "Oh, thank God, that's over." And then all of a sudden, you hear them walking down the aisle again. They said, "Down the quarters," and they grab you again and pull you out, and they beat you right down to the very brink of death again. And they would do that over and over and over. And they said, this one pastor was in there, and they were trying to get him to renounce his belief in God. And he would not. And they beat him and beat him and beat him, and finally he died. And when he went into his cell to take his body out, they say, written in his own blood on the wall, he said, "I believe in the sun even when it's not shining." "I believe in love even when I don't feel it." And he said, "I believe in God even when he's silent." Just because God is silent doesn't mean to say he hates you. Doesn't mean to say he's mad at you. Doesn't mean to say it is all over. God is just waiting for you to pass this test, because he knows around that corner the promised land is there. Your breakthrough is there. The vision that you've had, the dream that you had in life, the purpose that God's got for you is just around the corner. And don't get discouraged. The Bible says they got discouraged because of the hardness of the way. Let's not get discouraged this morning. Your problem that you're going through, I got this out of a devotional, and I thought it was pretty good, so I just put it here. Your problem that you're going through is just a platform for God to show himself strong on your behalf. What you're going through right now is just something for God. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro over all the earth, looking for someone that he can show himself strong to. God is looking for an opportunity to bless you. So whatever your problem is, it's just an opportunity for God to bless. Discover that the strength comes when you are at your weakest point. Paul said, when I am weak, then I'm strong. What we do when we get weak, we say, I'm going to throw it all in. Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And we need to be able to thank God for our enemies, because God has promised to bless us right in the midst of our enemies. When you see your enemies around you, discouragement and everything else, and frustration and all the problems that you're facing, realize that God says, that's right where I'm going to bless you. I'm going to prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. So let's not get discouraged. And I know that's easier to say than do. But when you find discouragement coming and is knocking on the door, don't answer it. Don't answer it. As somebody said, send faith out there to answer the door. And when the devil comes in and says, listen, you got to do this, is going wrong, this is going wrong, you'll never make it, you'll never see, you know, God had a good plan for your life, but you mess it up now, so God can't use you anymore. And the devil's always coming up with ideas like that and lies like that. Jesus said he was a liar from the beginning. But we need to understand that when discouragement comes, we have to pass that test before we get into the next level. And I can guarantee you, and you can look back over your own life, and I can look back over my life, there's times when I spent years in discouragement when I should have rose above it and moved on and forgot about what the devil was trying to do. And just get your eyes upon Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. God's got a plan and a purpose for every one of us.